Welcome to Friend the Competition, a podcast to discover the best of all time. I'm Nick Carey, alongside my co-host and best friend, Cody Lena. We discuss various pop culture topics and narrow it down to truly the best of all time.
Or as we like to call it, the boat. But before we get some foot on the boat, we put him into a Sweet 16-style tournament. We argue each round. We decide a winner. Nick, what criteria do we use? We decide who steps foot on the boat.
Whatever the hell we want. Cody, you want to tell them what we're talking about this season?
Absolutely. This group, Nick, is actually dummy stacked. In like a weird way, right? This is like, this is teenage boy group. This, if you're 14, this is the best it's going to ever get. It doesn't get better, by the way.
In a very specific, if you were 14.
In 1997.
1997. Like, I think all this is out by like 98. So like, if you're 14 in 98, this is the peak. Like, you're like,
bro, are you kidding me? Of course it's the peak. You just skateboarded over to your friend's house. His mom gave you some bagel bites and a Capri Sun, and you could throw any one of these movies on and you're going to have the best day of your life.
Yeah.
Don't ever grow up.
Don't. It sucks. I know people. I know there's a lot of people out there that will be like, "Oh, wow, you just live in your mom's basement eating bagel bites all the time. Wow, you're really." It didn't get better. I get it.
It doesn't get better.
I have a wife and a house, and I love all. And I have a dog, and I love all those things. Ain't nothing ever beat when I was 14 in a basement with my dudes.
Well, yeah, dude.
The purity of it. I think there's just nothing more pure. There's happier I've been. But there's always a caveat to that happiness. There's usually something in the world that I'm like, oh, that's happening, though, on the other side of the world,
dread.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
There's always that existential dread that you can't 14, take.
You know, a 14-year-old Nick, actually, I wonder, dude, I don't know if the kids still have this. The kids might have ruined this for themselves with, like, TikTok, because now they know way too much about the world, right?
Oh, they're God, tapped they're, in. They're in, so tapped in. They know
in
what's
a way
going
that's like, I'm proud of them, and you're like, hey, that's really meaningful. Like, that's great that you all know so much more, and, like, you're not just going to, like, you will decide your politics on your own probably way sooner than we ever did, right? And that's great. And you'll have these formed opinions. I'm going to tell you right now, I think you're fucked. It was so much better. It was so cool being 14. And just, I remember listening to, me and my buddy were listening to Saliva. We were, we're sitting there. We were playing a little Need for Speed. And then we'd get some bagel bites and we toss on a film. And it was nothing genuinely could have made me happier. And I'm like, and now I'm like, oh, you all know way too much. You all can have
I didn't even know what was going on down the street. And these kids are tapped into global politics.
I don't think I knew who the president was. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you asked me, hey, right now, who's the president? I'd be like, I do know the answer. Hold on. I know the answer. Just give me like a second, though. That's a tough question. Hold on. Like, and now you kids are like, I know all of them. I know every person who's running a government. And I'm like, oh, wow, good for you.
Good for you, man. I'm going to watch the Power Rangers movie because the ooze is fucking funny.
Yeah. folks, here we are in Group B of Best 90s Action Film, as we're calling it, Best Peak of Cinema. And
Best
cinema overall. And folks, that means that we've taken 16 movies. We sent to our bracketologist. They kicked the list back to us. We're going to go through groups A, B, C, and D until we come up with our final four. And then we'll talk about that on a Final Four Friday. But here in group B, which means group A has already happened. Go listen to it.
It's important that you listen to that one, by the way.
Yeah,
You're not going to get, if you get to the Final Four without listening to group A, you're going to have a weird time.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird. Just go do it right now. Just stop right now. It's already out. It's right. Just scroll up or down. I think it depends on your platform. Scroll up or down. It's right there. Just go listen to that right now. Come back to us. Okay. Welcome back. Thank you so much for doing that. Appreciate that for listening to group A. And so now you can listen to group B. We have here the 4 seed Blade going up against the 13 seed, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. And then we have the 5 seed Demolition Man going up against the 12 seed Con Air. Cody, where do you want to start?
Start with Demolition Man versus Con Air. Nick, when we saw the bracketologist put these two together, we were both sad. We were both stricken with an indescribable sadness. These are two dark horses. I think that either one of these could have made a whole run. Deep, deep. But now they have to fight each other straight up.
The bracketologists definitely have a penchant for this, right? Because I agree with you. I think these are two of the action movies from the 90s that are your most...
They take themselves the least seriously.
Take themselves the least serious, but these are like beloved, right? These are your cult classics. These are the ones that people are like, that you might have skipped over, like initially in the 90s. Like, do I really need to see a movie where Nicolas Cage is trapped on a plane trying to just get it home to his kid? You're like,
yeah, you do. You do,
I
though.
I skipped it. And then everyone's like, dog, why did you, what were you doing? Demolition Man, same thing. You're like, I've seen Sylvester Stallone. I don't need to see the most recent Sylvester Stallone movie. Yeah. People are like, yo.
But now you're out here and you don't even know how the seashells work. You don't even know how to use the shells.
You don't have any idea how shells work, and you look like an idiot.
You look like an idiot, dude.
All of our pants are down, ready to go, and you're like, you still got your pants on, man. Like, what are you doing? So, all right, yes, I've actually, once again, I've also continued to call this list.
This list is just a constant reminder to Nick that he didn't have a father figure growing up.
They didn't have a father figure to show me cool movies, because I have not seen either of these movies. I know of them from your memes and your
you
history
haven't seen
and your
Demolition
lore.
Man or Con Air?
No, the one thing I know about Demolition Man more than anything is that this is essentially the Simpsons of action movies. That this is a movie that predicted so much, especially around like when the pandemic happened, right?
Yep.
Because the movie is about a disease that starts to wipe out society. Then they also don't handshake anymore.
Nope.
They ran out of toilet paper.
Yep. And there's a lot of PC culture too. There's a lot of fine for swearing.
Yep. You can't say it. You can only say certain things. Yep. No swearing.
There's a lot of Big Brother. Lots of security cameras. Lots of microphones that record everything you do and say. And
we got
accordingly.
The first people who called out Arnold Schwarzenegger's political career, the fact that he was going to move on to big things. Right? This movie's already calling that shit out. You also have, and let's be clear about this, the brand wars.
They did like, not. They went straight into the brand wars, yes.
Like, we haven't had them yet, but we all see it coming. Like, in that way that you're looking down the barrel, we all are staring down the barrel of that gun and just like.
I'm going to say something that's going to sound like a joke, but Nick, I want you to know this 100% serious. At some point in the distant, not so distant future, you're going to have to choose to spill blood for Coke or Pepsi. And I'm sorry, this is the first time you're hearing it. You will be fighting in these wars. Well, yeah. Brothers will be fighting brothers. Nick?
Yeah.
Coke or Pepsi?
This is, the problem is Diet Coke's my favorite, but to lose Diet Mountain Dew is almost.
That's where I'm like too. It's like, they got Mountain Dew on the Pepsi front, but I don't want a Pepsi. I want a Coke.
And here's the thing though, but here's my thing is like, if I'm looking at who my fighters are going to be, right? I need a bunch of methed out hillbilly. I get methed out hillbillies if I go
on the Pepsi team. Yeah, it's true. You
get, and that's a group of people I want. I don't want to fight that group, right? Like, I'd rather know that I got a bunch of dudes in jacked up Jeeps that are just roaming through towns.
That's the thing, because once you get the Mountain Dew contingent, I think whoever, man, Mountain Dew's the winner. That's who's going to really lead the war.
Right.
I'm afraid of the Mountain Dew. Dude, the Monster Energy drink, kids, it comes to war?
Yeah, no, like, that's my thing. It's like, I'm just staring down. I'm like, hey.
Dude,
I'm
their hands are so hardened from punching so much drywall. Can you imagine what it's going to be like if they get hurt?
Well, and what does Coke have behind it? A bunch of moms? A bunch of single mothers? Like, I'm sorry. Single mother is the hardest job in the world. Doesn't make you the best fighter is all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, okay? And so I'm like, what are you Dasani drinking motherfuckers? You ain't gonna do it?
Yeah, what do you-
Are there more of you? Yes. That's what you have numbers. But I got Billy Ray over here who swears that this triple barrel shotgun's gonna work.
Okay, oh yeah, cool. Yeah, you got moms, you got all your fancy, your vans. I got Billy Ray, this motherfucker, he put a lift kit on a 1994 Toyota Accord.
Yeah.
You can't mess with that guy.
That dude's full of bad ideas, and I love every single one of them, okay?
Every single one of them.
So for me, it's like, I am scared. I'm scared for the days, though, but I do like Demolition Man, because I do think they kind of called it with Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I think Taco Bell, they don't tell you how the war goes, but I imagine Taco Bell.
When the smoke clears,
watched,
we don't know who wins. Yeah, it's Taco Bell. I said, when the smoke clears, we know who won, and it was Taco Bell.
Yes. And so I feel like they just let McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's kind of beat themselves up over the burger battles. There was the great burger battles, and Taco Bell just kind of was keeping its mouth shut for a while.
I mean, we kind of had this with the chicken sandwich wars. Nick, people died over chicken sandwiches
it's
a couple
true.
Years ago.
Right. I mean, hey, we were... Damn, dude. Once again, Demolition Man calling it shot. But
I'm gonna say this. I love both these movies. I want to get that. I want to get ahead of that. But Con Air has a special heart. As like, I love the cast. I love everybody that's in it. But Demolition Man, dude, that movie speaks to me on a different level.
Okay, here's what I kind of where I'm at as someone who hasn't seen it. So I am gonna trust you, and I think I know where we're going. But the one thing that I like about Con Air is that it's almost too in that way, almost or more most like. It's trying to do the most, but still, like, it clearly wants to have a true heartfelt story. Like, it wants emotion. It's a dad. At the end of the day, it's a dad trying to get home, right? It's a dad who's promised. He's finally getting out of prison. He's just trying to get back to his daughter. And wouldn't you know it, we've got a bunch of psychos on this plane.
John Malkovich will not let you get home.
And
he
so you
either.
Have this beautiful, and then... To me, what it sells it though is, and this is when we're talking about the 90s, right? Is it's got the song. It's got that LeAnn Rimes big song at the end.
How do I live without you? I don't know.
Yeah, it's that song, so like you're just like, how do you live? Watching that and not just like all of a sudden you're like, am I crying during Con Air? What is happening?
The best part is when that song starts ripping out, it's such a wild juxtaposition to the rest of the movie.
Yes, exactly.
It's like you have this big heartfelt ballad and it just doesn't make sense. That's a bunch of convicts on a plane. What are we doing here?
But that's the beauty, right? Is like, that's the beauty though. It works itself. I like I said, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you here.
Yeah.
If you
say
that Demolition
Man
does something to you downstairs that you got that
it
you want to experience, I got to follow. I got to follow you into the dark.
I think it's got to be Demolition Man. And the fact that you, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the fact you haven't seen Demolition Man, that's messed up. We might have to get this through.
That's fine. Hey, I'm not going to stop you. I'll tell you that much right now. All right. Next up, we have the 4-seed Blade going up against the 13-seed, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Now, some of you may be like, Nick Cody, really? Power Rangers? Hey, were you a child in the 90s? Then this was your action film. This was in the same way that our fathers, I assume, wasn't there, were lined up for T2, right? That they were like, they were fucking pumped to go see like T2. This was our T2, right? We're like, we heard that they were going to make a Power Rangers movie. And we were like, wait, like the big screen? No, they can, no.
Yeah, dude.
All you had was a television version. You had a tiny version, and they promised you the biggest version that you possibly could see. And then you want to know what they did when they handed it to you? They delivered. Okay?
They delivered. Dude, this movie was extreme to the max. This is the reason why we had Surge. Because this doesn't make any sense. It's just everything they did in the movie was so kids would think it was cool. The movie starts with them skydiving on like snowboards and shit.
Immediately.
Why?
Cool.
We don't know right. Why. Right into a dope fight scene in the middle of a city.
No,
awesome.
Here's
love
no,
that.
Stop.
Right into a jungle fight scene.
Cody, stop right now. You've gone too far too fast. You have to remember, these are kids who are... Their identity is hidden as the Power Rangers, right? No one knows who the Power Rangers are, yet there are 5 radical teens jumping out of this plane, landing in a small circle, in their colors, by the way.
Exactly. Don't they immediately rollerblade away into a rollerblading montage?
Yeah, they're just like, and no one's like, I don't know who the fuck these Power Rangers are, though. It would be like if Clark Kent was consistently just like a firefighter and helping people. And you're like, I think that guy could be. It doesn't make any sense. He's only doing cool radical stuff all the time anyway.
Did he just pick up a car? Yeah, but a lot of people can do that.
Well, you can do that if you have the adrenaline going through you. And he's a firefighter. He probably trains to do that.
Like, yeah, he can probably turn his adrenaline on whatever he wants. I don't think that's real.
Anyway, but you're right. Cody, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just one of those things that I've always been like, and this is the most Clark Kent puts on glasses. And we're like, I don't know. I don't know who it could be in this town, but.
There's the best part about the Power Rangers movie is that they have all these scenes that are the most radical scene you've ever seen. And then there was no one in the room that had to keep the plot together. They didn't have to worry about the plot. It's an ooze man. Fight the ooze man.
And I don't think they told that dude what movie he was in, by the way.
He had no idea.
Whoever, I don't think he does any scenes with the Power Rangers, because the only time he interacts with the Power Rangers is when he's essentially become the giant ooze. So he's graphics at that point. So I really feel like they filmed his scene separate, and they're like, we just want you to like build this ooze character. Like, just make whatever you want, make it, and we will make the movie work around it. Because this guy, this actor is unhinged. This performance is one of the great, you're just like, I can't believe this.
This is another example of the Oscars doing it wrong and ignoring the real people out here doing the real work.
Right. This was a true performance. This man is lost.
Dude, it's so easy to give someone an Oscar for best actor when they get really deep and they commit to the character and they're acting alongside brilliant actors and you can really get lost in the performance. That's one thing. It's brave to give someone that same thing when they're in a Power Rangers movie acting alone.
Yeah.
They fully dedicated themselves to acting alone.
No, and here's what pisses me off. Because when I'm watching Hoover, right, and it's Leonardo DiCaprio playing J. Edgar Hoover, the whole time I'm like, that's Leonardo DiCaprio in prosthetics. Like, you have not convinced me. I still know, and I can appreciate the performance, but at the end of the day, I'm always like, that is Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't know who the ooze man is, okay? That is such a singular, he is the ooze man. Whoever that actor is, he is also the ooze man. And he does such a good job at being my ooze man. And Cody, to your point that you were saying earlier,
I think it's Daniel Day-Lewis.
I might have been.
I think it's Daniel Day, dude.
It would not shock me, okay? Because the dedication to the insanity of this man is so good that it is so easy for me to believe. Like, oh, you guys did actually get like a true character actor guy, and you're like, but you let him cook. And to your point, though, Cody, you're right. This is a movie built for, like, A, it starts off, like you said, we're falling out of a plane. Next thing we got dinosaur mechs. Great. Do you want to know when the dinosaur mechs don't work, what do? They become ninjas. What? Like, as a child, what more could you want in a film? And then we give them a doper set of Megazords. You give them the Animal Zords. It's the best. All right. All that to say, though, I don't want us to look over Blade. Obviously, there's a lot of emotion tied up into Power Rangers.
Yeah.
But I want to say Blade is, by my knowledge, for sure one of the first like five rated R movies I've ever seen. I don't know. I can't say exactly which one was the first. But I know Blade makes it on there pretty early, because I remember my mom had just started dating Randy, and we had done like a joint, like, you know, he had his two boys who were, you know, 8 and 4 years older than me. Because I would have been like 8 or 9 at this point. And we were going to do like all right, we're going to grab pizza and rent movies. So his boys rented Blade.
Hell yeah, they did.
I think, like,
if I know anything about Adam, it's because he's badass and he wanted Blade.
And I don't remember what we rented, but I just remember it gets to that point where it's like, we had maybe watched our movie first. And
if I can imagine it, I can imagine Nick walking up, like, everyone goes, picks their movie, right? Adam's got Blade, and Nick and his sister walk up. It's like, this is our pick. And it's like My Little Pony or some shit. And Nick's like, oh, I'm not cool.
Oh, man. I got a lot to learn. And yes, I just remember, like, my sister had fallen asleep and I was still awake. I'm like, all right, we're going to watch Blade. And my mom was like, wait, what is this rated? And they're like, I think it's rated R. And then it's like, and then Randy's like, it's just an action movie. And like, that is true. It is just an action movie. But for an 8-year-old child, I have yet to see this much blood at all in my collectively from everything else I had watched up to that point over the course of 8 years, did not have nearly as much blood as the techno blood rave that starts the movie. And from that point on, it's just heads getting chopped off.
Oh,
it is
so badass.
It was so sick. And I just remember my mom having that like look over and be like, what did I do? Oh no.
I already let him watch it. I got to compete. I love Power Rangers in a nostalgic way, and I love how radical it is. But Blade is radical and badass, so I've got to move Blade on into the next. Since we're arguing cinema, which is what this bracket is, I would argue that Power Rangers is not cinema. That one guy that played Ivan Ooze, he was giving it his all.
Yeah, that is fair. That to be fair, it is also that it is the
The fact they were able to get Daniel Day-Lewis is amazing.
I would say there's like, because at this point we're starting to use CGI, right? But we're not exactly sure, because like we all saw Jurassic Park and we all see the T-Rex. I'm like, damn, you can really make this stuff. It's amazing. This can look really realistic. And then the Power Rangers comes out and is like, but it doesn't have to look realistic, guys. Look at this. And like, it's the worst, like the most obvious, terrible graphics for these like mech fights. And you're like, oh, we're not there yet fully. I'll go with you with Blade here, because I agree. It also has, it has that very fun distinction that we forget about now. And it seems wild that now, but like, this is one of the first comic book movies. Like at this point, there's no MCU. The idea of the MCU is yet a twinkle in Kevin Feige's eyes, or in his pants, or whatever they say.
It's in his pants. But yeah.
It's in his pants, wherever, right? It is, we aren't even close yet to this. This is just someone taking a bet on the fact, because like, well, Spawn came out and people seem to like that. And that's like a darker movie. Why don't we just do Blade? You know,
dude,
like.
It's and give Wesley Snipes a chance to be a badass, dude. He's in he's the villain in Demolition Man, and he's badass in that too.
Oh yeah, Wesley, there is nothing about Wesley Snipes that doesn't ooze cool badass. Like,
yes, dude, everything rules. Why don't we have more Wesley Snipes? Just
he
in
had
general.
To go to jail because he didn't want to pay taxes on all the good money he made in the 90s.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, he was like, I made a lot of money. You know what? The one thing he didn't think was cool to do. Pay taxes. And he didn't and a lot of them. He made so much money that he was like, I don't see why I have to pay any of this. I think Wesley Snipes thought that even if he got caught, I think Wesley Snipes knew he was going to get caught. I think he thought he could go to court and be like, Your Honor, I'm Wesley Snipes. And they would just be like, of course you are. I'm so sorry to have bothered you, sir. We will move on. Keep all your money. Have a great day. And
jeez,
unfortunately,
yeah. 15 million. I just looked it up. Damn, he did not pay his taxes.
No, I'm telling you, this is a man who was like, I'm not paying him. And they were like, sir, you owe us so much. I love Blade. I mean, as far as, once again, too, I think the thing about the 90s and why it just holds up, and not to be those old guys, but like just the practical effects, just the dedication to like, No. We're going to do a full combat scene with real people and not just a bunch of like CGI dummies, you know, like putty people. Like you can tell that people are actually like moving around using sword, like actual great sword fighting. The coolest weaponry. I love, you want to know a character I always love in a movie? The weapon maker. The guy, just some weird, creepy fuck who all they do is make the most bad. He has a gun that shoots silver stakes.
Badass.
What are we talking about here?
Blade is badass. I get that. And I actually did love the movie. It was very fun. But Demolition Man transcends. We're talking cinema. I need you to remember this. Blade is badass. It's not quite cinema because it's not trying to tell you anything besides the Daywalker's badass.
No,
Demolition Man has a message to tell.
No, Cody, and you're 100% correct on that too. The guy who would direct Demolition Man, this is the only movie he would go on direct. He is now one of the most famous and prolific visual artists of all time. I can't remember his name, but if you look him up, like he did this one thing. He's like, oh, I can't make, like, there's no way I'm going to be able to make the movie. Like, movies are not going to be my art form. But like, this dude releases Demolition Man. Like we've already pointed out, has that weird, like, wow, you really kind of called your shot on the future a little bit. Visually is now a reference for a lot of other movies. And this dude just like one and done it was like, yeah, I'm way too pretentious to do this shit. So man, I'm with you here. I'm with you.
I like Demolition Man, dude. It's trying to tell a message.
I'm with you in it. It's been one, if I'm being honest, this has definitely been on that bucket list of 90s movies that I've been like, man, I'm going to get to it. And now I just needed the reason. I just
now
needed this reason. So thank you. Thank you for providing it to me. And thank you all for listening to this episode of Friendly Competition. If you want about your boys, a few things that you can do, as always, share with a friend, tell a friend, wherever you're listening to this, make sure you hit that like, that follow, that subscribe, and wherever you can, give us those 5 stars, please.
Absolutely. Follow us on all of our social media, except Twitter. Fuck Twitter. Email us at friendlycompetitionpodcast@gmail.com. If you have ideas did you write your doctoral thesis on Demolition Man? I would love to read it.
Please. Yeah. Let us know. As always, shout out to Charizard for their intro to our music. You want to hear more of their stuff, head over to Bandcamp, type in Charizard, replace the vowels with sixes. That is going to be it for us, folks. We got Group C coming out on Monday. But until then, I've been Nick Carey.
And I'm Cody Lena. See you on the boat.